It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. We back another week in your ear, crystal clear. What's good with you, man?
Shit, man. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't good. I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm shit, you know. It's out here living life, getting, you know what I'm saying? Never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Pac.
There you go. No guilt and thriving. You know what I mean? Shit. That's a beautiful thing, nigga. That shit's contagious. Yeah. I like to hear that type of energy.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's good.
It feel like, you know what I'm saying, you just get to a space where you mentally and spiritually, you start to fucking align to where, you know, it's not like I'm thinking this, but I'm feeling this, you know? It's like at this point, I'm feeling how I'm thinking how I'm feeling, and I'm moving forward. Things are coming together, you know what I'm saying? It don't always equate to I done went from this tax bracket to that, but it feel like you have just jumped tax brackets, but you ain't, you know, it's just internally. It's not it's external things. No external factors that factor into this right here, what I'm talking about. So with that being said, you know what I'm saying, that's how I'm feeling. So that's why I say I'm feeling great. Not that everything's perfect and everything's good, but like I always say, I don't smile because everything good. I smile because I'm good, and that's where I'm at.
That sounds really good. Now, let me ask you, was there anything that you did intentionally that got you there? Or do you feel like, yeah, was it anything that you can track that got you to this place to where you are aligned with how you think and how you feel?
Well, it's more, it wasn't no intentional thing that I'm doing this practice and I can do 10 hours of yoga. Nah, it ain't none of that shit. It's just really looking at where you at, what you're doing, being grateful for what you got, you know what I'm saying? Understanding that, you know, everything you need, you already got. You know, I want more, I want this, I want that. Sometimes you look around and be like, okay, shit, I'm cool with this shit right here, right now. You know what I'm saying? I ain't stopping, but this shit look like, you know what I mean? It's looking like how I want it to look, almost. And, you know what I'm saying, if I keep this same energy, it'll probably look how I want it to look on the next level, you know? So let me just keep going and be grateful and just shut the fuck up and do my work. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times we grinding and we looking at the next thing and how I could get to the next place. You don't even be in the shit you got before you be like, okay, my next shit, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that and I'm gonna put this on it and that on it and I'm gonna buy this. Nah, I ain't really bought much, you know what I'm saying, the last year or so. But the same shit that I had just feel different now that you more grateful about it. You know what I'm saying? Put some new ties on Merlot and shit. That shit made me feel great. Like, damn, look, my shit clean. Boy, what nigga, this shit, nigga. Right. It ain't, you know what I'm saying? There's very few flaws on this motherfucker right now, boy. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of it, I could attribute a lot of that to that car. You know what I'm saying? Not that, you know, the car is something you worship or no shit like that, but it's because, you know what I mean, the shit, it causes a conversation where it goes, you know what I'm saying, it's clean, it's like, it's something that is like, okay, if I just take care of this bitch, you know what I'm saying, it'll continue to render the results, you know what I mean, like, you can have a, you know what I'm saying, a new this and a new that, and it may not render the same results, you know what I'm saying, as pulling up in the clean old school, niggas be like, ooh, boy, that shit there, boy, ha, ha. You know what I'm saying? It speaks to your character that you able to, you know what I'm saying, keep an 85 clean, and you know what I'm saying, and looking clean and riding smooth, you know what I'm saying, turn the bitch on, it turn on a dime and it's quiet, AC blowing, you know what I mean? It's like an achievement in the video game, you know what I'm saying? Every time you pull up, you get a ding. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You've achieved, you know what I mean? So it's just one of them moments, because I've seen that happen. Or as a young adult, I've seen it happen, like where it was like a Luke birthday party. He used to do a birthday party every year. I think his birthday like right around Christmas. So it usually either be like the day after Christmas or Christmas Eve, one of them nights. I think it's the day after Christmas where he had a party. And it was the first time I seen a nigga pull up in a Range Rover in Miami. Because, you know, it was mostly American cars, you know what I'm saying, like, or Benzes and shit like that. So, nigga pulled up in the Range. That nigga had on, you know what I'm saying, had on his fresh Christmas outfit, leather, some shit. And that nigga hopped out, and he, you know what I'm saying, he's standing all in front of it. He in front of the club, you know what I'm saying. He had a few niggas come holler at him and shit. Oh, shit, boy, I see you. You know what I'm saying? It was his Christmas vehicle. Then a nigga pulled up right behind him in an old school nigga, 73 Vert, fresh out the paint shop, cleaner than a motherfucker. And man, the hoes was like, oh, God, that nigga. Everybody ran. That nigga pulled everybody to him. I was like, damn. Them niggas respected that Vert more than they did that Range Rover. And I was like, damn, that's something. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you put your own creativity and touch on something, you know what I'm saying, you maintain something, you keep something fresh longer than the probably the intended expiration date, you know what I'm saying, there's a certain level of respect that comes with it, you know what I'm saying, certain credit people give you when they see you, because your shit clean. And it's like, for me, it's like a small metaphor for life, you know what I'm saying? So I think I've been taking that same energy and applying it to different parts of my life, you know what I'm saying? And then on top of being grateful, it's like, you know, yeah, I wanted to slam it, put some BBS on it and do all that shit, da da da. But right now, as it is, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it buy me a whole lot more extra by putting the rims on it. So I just leave that shit how it is and roll it. So, again, that speaks in other parts of your life. Sometimes you don't need to do all of the extra shit on top of. Sometimes you just got to enjoy that shit how you got it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Right. You don't need the bigger this and the next that and the new build house and shit. You know what I'm saying? Keep your yard clean. You know what I'm saying? Your landscaping right and motherfucking grass watered and green. Shit. You looking like somebody, man. And yeah. I think that's where it lands for me.
I hear it, man. Just, you know, it sounds, I can hear it in as you say it. You know, you focused. Nah, I can hear that shit. You focused on your shit, minding your own business.
Right.
Let me ask you, well, two things. One, are you still breathing?
Yeah. Actually, my breathing coach came to town, and I missed them. They had called me, but I didn't see the call. And then by the time I called them, they was headed out. But yeah, I'm doing the breathing. I need to pick it up. I still haven't done 21 consecutive days, which is my goal. So every time you miss it, you start over. So
right.
So shit. I'm on 3 right now.
Okay. And 3, each day is what? What's that consist of for the 21 days? What are you doing?
It's just the exercise. It's a, you know what I'm saying? It's probably like a, hold on. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Then it's like 7, 8 different breathing exercises in a sequence. Mm-hmm. It's about a 20-minute sequence that you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about 20 minutes. It's not bad. You know what I'm saying? But when you do it, it's just like any exercise. Like, you know, riding on a stationary bike ain't hard, but you got to go get on it, do it, you know what I'm saying, every day. Or, you know what I mean, in your, however you trying to do it. So right. I'm just trying to get a rhythm of doing it to where that breathing is part of your just natural part of your day, just naturally.
Right. No, I could dig. I hear that. That sounds cool. You gotta send me that if it's cool. Yeah, send me that.
Yeah, man. There's not. I don't use a video because they taught me, but I think there are videos for it. So okay. I'll try to find one.
Okay. Now let me ask you this: what's your social media intake?
Depends on the type of week I'm having. Actually, you know what I'm saying? My social media looks like, as far as me taking it in, it looks like, you know, probably once or twice an hour you scroll, maybe three scrolls, put it up, keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Check your inbox. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Scroll, three scrolls, you know, and then by the time I scroll three times, something is coming in distracting me. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's like a weekend. One time I was at one of my homeboy crib, and he had a projector in his crib, and he had his phone projecting on the big screen. He just had the stories just playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was an interesting way. I never seen somebody intake social media that way. It was like a hands-free way of just, you know, just keeping abreast of what's out on the social media. It's like, you know, watching Fox on silent or CNN on silent. You know what I mean? That's how he had it running. You know what I mean? I was like, damn, that's interesting. But I don't really intake that much, but you know, again, every hour or so, you doing a little. I probably only make it past about 3-4 people on my stories before I had to put it up and go to something else. But like, I don't, you know, then you do the round robin. You know, you next time you open it up, you go to Twitter, see what's trending, see if you're missing something, blah, blah, blah. Keep it moving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not how I used to do it. Like, nigga used to be in it. And, you know, up on all this, trying to be up on all the trends and what's happening. But it's just real life kind of take over.
Yeah, I feel like there's a correlation with that. Like how you said, you focused on your life, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a correlation. There's a, that's the side effect to social media, right? There's, particularly for what I do, there's this justification sometimes where I'm like, I need to know what's trending, what's going on in the world, because I might want to talk about that, blah, blah, blah. And I don't really need to go to social media to talk about that. You could go to the news. You could go, like, you know, or you could just live in the world and have some stuff to talk about. And I've been very much deliberate about certain things, right? Mm-hmm. That whole mind your business thing, like, I'm really on that. Like, because if you... Well, speaking for myself, if I'm on social media a lot, it's very easy to get comparative. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to, now you taking your eye off of your own thing, and now you comparing it to what other people got going on, and you may think less of about what you have. And then that energy is only going to undermine whatever type of, you know, effort you're putting into your own shit. Because you're kind of looking at it like, you know, like a plant that ain't growing fast enough. Rather... cut some of that shit off. Don't worry about all of that and tend to your garden and be excited about, you know, the new growth. You know what I'm saying? Oh shit, look at this. Okay, my fucking shit is blooming. Shit is harvesting. Like, cause then that becomes energy. It becomes some momentum there, and then you just become very tapped in. And I think that when you tapped into your own stuff, you feel better about you as a result, you know? Right. And on another thing, just something else I'm trying to be deliberate about is how I react to certain choices and certain moves that I make, right? Think that growing up, if there was a problem, I'd be around people who would kind of stress out or get real dramatic about the fact that there's a problem and, you know, kind of spinning their wheels a little bit, you know, in almost a performative fashion. So much so that it took me a while to realize that if you don't have to respond to problems like that, you don't gotta bug out. You could still be cool about it and see the problem and think about how you could solve this problem without going crazy and still honor the problem, right? Instead of thinking that if I'm not bugging, then I'm not really given the problem it's due, you know, because I grew up around people that be like, you ain't stressed? Yo, what's going on? Like, you see shit is fucked up. And it's like, that is not going to help anything. It took me a long time to realize that is not going to help anything. So a lot of times, you know, for real, it took me a while because that's just, you just feel like that's the culture of problem solving. Like, oh shit, word? Oh, fuck that. You know what I mean? It's like a show. It's a show for somebody else. Right. And there's no need to do that. And, you know, it will greatly help your stress levels. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man.
That shit right there is a trip because I don't show my stress like that. But it also in turn causes a lot of problems where people think you don't give a fuck because you ain't stressed. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? You're like, nah, I just don't think, you know what I'm saying, overreacting is the play for this. You know, if I sit down and think about this shit, I could figure it out. But you know, it's often interpreted as, you know, you don't care, you willy-nilly, you know what I'm saying? You just out here floating in the air, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got no plan for yourself because in order to have a plan and be serious in life, you got to be fucking stressed out about problems. You shouldn't have no problems. And if you do, you should be stressed about them shits.
Right.
Nah. Because if that's the case, you'll never live. So.
Yeah, problems are a part of life. It is what it is. Like breathing.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, it's gonna happen. A lot of these things you almost really can't control. Because if you could control all these problems, you just have no problems. And that's not the case. Everybody dealing with something. So you just got to figure out how you handle it. Your management is what you can control.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, but that's good to hear, man. I like that, man. I'm inspired by that, you know. Trying to just stay more aligned and more. I like the gratitude portion of it because, you know, right now, and even just right now, but just in life, like I said, sometimes you get caught up in what you don't have or what you feel that you need. And oftentimes when you get what you feel that you need, it don't even feel rewarding. It just feels like something you ticked off of a list. It did nothing for you. And then that shit could make you even feel away. Like, damn, I thought this was going to change things. Right. And sometimes you just got to be grateful for what you got because it could always be worse.
Yeah. You know. Because I've been there. You know what I'm saying? I've been to the worst. You know what I mean? Maybe not the worst, but I've been down there. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere hovering around. You know what I'm saying? Sliding off a motherfucking razor board, like razor blade sliding board into a pool of alcohol type shit. But, you know, when you start climbing your way out, right, it'd be like, you might get something big that, okay, now I could pay this and I could pay that and then that shit gone. But really, I really learned that part in the smallest. It was like the smallest of wind that changed my whole mindset. You know what I'm saying? It was like, in the beginning, I didn't even have my camera yet. So this was like, it was like I was transitioning into doing the content stuff. And I had a little small camera that I used to do interviews with. And I had a little hookup where I put the live, I Velcroed the live to the side of that bitch. I had a very compact ass setup. And at one point, my homeboy Sean Peter, shout out to Sean P, who went, you know, he out here blowing up, you know what I'm saying? Black DP out there doing big shit for reference. He shot the Rihanna Super Bowl commercial out in Barbados. So, but back then, we was just getting going. And he was doing a shoot, and they needed some audio equipment. They needed a live, really. And he was like, yo, my man, he's doing this shoot. He want to rent your live. I'm like, rent my live? I mean, in my mind, I'm like, really? I can let you niggas hold this shit. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what I mean? So the nigga came, and then he's like, nah, I rent it. You know what I'm saying? And the nigga gave me $20 to rent the live, which ain't shit. But at the moment, it was like a light bulb when I'm like, oh, shit. I got money just because I had the equipment. Oh, shit. And that's what made me just buy all the equipment. Because even if you ain't working, physically shooting, you could rent shit. You know what I'm saying? It's always something you could do if you got the equipment. Like, a lot of people, they shoot, but they don't own the equipment, so they have to rent every time they shoot, which means they can't shoot without getting no money, you know? Right. So having equipment allows you to shoot, do things whenever you want to. You got an idea, you could go flesh that bitch out. You know what I'm saying? You ain't working, you could rent that shit out. You know, it was like, damn. So it was like in a very small win, it was like, this is it. You know what I'm saying? And then I fucked around and told somebody that shit. Like, nigga, $20, nigga. No, they didn't understand it. You know what I'm saying? It was like, nigga, right, you crazy. Right, I was like, nah, fuck that, nigga. I'm on to something. You know what I'm saying? And it's like in those small ass thing that opened my eyes to like, hey, man, you could do this shit, and it could earn. You could earn even when you ain't working, when you got certain things. And that was a game changer.
Yeah, sometimes it just be that simple. See a bit of opportunity. And you see it. Everybody don't have the same vision, but right. The fact that you caught it and it inspired you, that was enough.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's up.
And then you have to be good with nobody really understanding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to be good just knowing that you know. Because once it's really when you start seeing the other side of it multiple times, like, oh, shit, I do be knowing something. You know what I'm saying? I just got to keep going, you know? Just got to keep going.
Yeah, it's good.
And that's it.
Yeah, you got to trust your own vision, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you waiting for people to kind of see it like you see it, it's almost you looking for them to co-sign your vision. Mm-hmm. You don't need that. You know what I mean? You can see on your own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
So. All
right, well, that was very existential. I appreciate it, though. It's good shit. These niggas. Oh, shit, man. Speaking of something different, I was on Instagram, right? And I was on there, and I saw this photo, and it was these 2 feet next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
1 foot on the left looked like what you would see as a normal foot, what you would think as a normal foot, the type of feet that you've seen in your life. Then the other foot on the right was kind of like, felt like a primitive foot, like a old caveman wide foot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the caption was like, which foot is the healthier foot? And immediately I'm like, I'm thinking the left. I'm going all in the comments. Everybody's applauding the right foot, like, this guy's he knows what he's doing. Like, the toes were all spread out, the whole foot was spread out, and I was a little lost, but I seen I was like, what's going on? Am I not high? You know, sometimes when you just had it, you're like, damn, am I wearing the wrong glasses? So I see in the caption, in the comments, a lot of people saying, you know, it's splayed. So I went and Googled foot splay or splay. I seen foot splay. And it is this process of basically, there's a whole community out there. And if you're in that community, let us know in the comments or online. Let us know, because I'm curious I'm curious if we have any listeners that are part of this community, because I want to know more about it and how you got into it. But there's this, it's a barefoot community. Now, I've heard about it. I might even know some people peripherally that participate a little bit. Well, basically, it's like this movement to where people, what the goal is to I guess, properly splay your foot, is what you're doing is by moving around barefoot, you are liberating your foot. And ultimately, what the goal is to kind of eliminate the arch in your foot. Mm-hmm. Like how we're living, the non-splayed, mm-hmm. how we're living with a very constricted foot. Our foot is oppressed. Our foot is binded basically by traditional shoes that make our foot, well, the way we tie our shoes tight, that's keeping our feet narrow. And mm-hmm. their argument is it's not how it's supposed to be. Right. Your feet are supposed to be able to, you know, spread out. You get a little bit more, I guess, more grip, more balance, more, you know, all of that. You know what I mean? Turns your foot into basically an ACG. Uh-huh. But aesthetically, I'm still old school with it. Go ahead.
Is this like pro caveman foot or pro jungle foot? The audience that's talking this talk.
I don't know if they even reference either one. What would you say is the difference between caveman and jungle foot?
I have no idea. Just, you know what I'm saying? I have no idea of this community. So I was just trying to get an idea. Well, what about the demographics of this community?
Yeah, they seem to be... Let me not.
Before you, yeah. It's more like, you know what I'm saying, what terrain are they, you know what I'm saying, what are they saying is the baseline for your terrain that your foot should be acclimated to, you know what I'm saying? Is it to climb palm trees or is it to scale rocks and mountains and shit?
I'm looking at it. And what they're saying is, seems like they're just going for foot stability, strength, coordination, and mobility training. Mm-hmm. They ain't even really talking about regions. This shit could be in a cosmopolitan setting. Mm-hmm. These are people that are out there. I've seen a YouTube video a long time ago. I was in like some type of YouTube rabbit hole, but basically, I seen this video where this guy was wearing. Like they got what they call barefoot shoes, mm-hmm. you know, like you've seen them before, mm-hmm. Shoes with the toes and all of that. And there's no soles to them. So it's like really trying to limit the distance or any barrier between you and the terrain, whatever terrain that is, if you on the A train or you in the Appalachian Mountains. Mm-hmm. Basically, what they want you to be able to do is to be as close to that so that the muscles in your feet develop to where they could kind of, you know, like you got all-wheel drive on your feet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not dependent on whatever treads and air bubbles and shit that you're buying. Mm-hmm. Nah, you want to be able to move in a way that you are completely... dependent, you know what I mean, on your own 1-2s. You know what I'm saying? Like you could, you know, and they say, yeah, so they often talk about, well, see, because it seems like, you know, this might be some, it feels still like non-traditional. You know, mm-hmm. when shit is non-traditional, but then they got that little, let the little fringe community that is, because they very fervent when they feel like they being marginalized, when they feel like they're the people that are walking in the truth, no pun mm-hmm. intended, well, pun intended. But mm-hmm. these people feel like they're doing the right thing, but society, mm-hmm. you know, whoever that is, big shoe, big sneaker, they are throwing money at the media and the propaganda to make you feel like you need to walk a certain way when in essence the true way to walk is splayed out, you know, like spread them toes, right, liberate right. your, you let me get on the good foot. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So
I mean, it sounds like a support group for flat-footed, wide-footed people. You know what I'm saying? They had to feel like they have a place and a safe space to discuss fat, wide, fleet, and maybe convert some, you know what I'm saying, flat, wide feet people to the mission. You know what I'm saying? They could then throw out, you know, hey, who needs an arch, man? You know what I'm saying? You're more stable if you don't have one and your foot is flat on the ground. And, you know, you walk through New York barefooted, you know what I mean, and splay it out. Shit. But that's just, you know, an outsider talking shit. I have no idea this community, but I like my arch, you know. During the pandemic, that was a, you know, you didn't know it, but after you've been in the house for a few months, barefooted for a few months, your arch really starts to hurt. Some people's arches fell during the pandemic. They never got them back. Maybe they splayed their feet fucking around, walking around barefooted. Me.
Well, some people would feel like they went to the other side.
Yeah, they joined the
group.
That
was progress.
That's probably when this display movement kind of blew up. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fallen arches during the pandemic. But once I felt mine hurting, man, I put on some shoes, man, and shit. Bought me some Birkenstocks and shit. Like, man, I ain't finna splay my shit. I never heard of the splayed feet movement.
I just came across it on the algorithm kind of took me there, and it was interesting. And I was like, you know, I like those little offbeat, you know, communities that are little movements that are trying to gather some steam, because it's interesting. And it's often tempting to kind of dismiss it, you know what I'm saying? But it's also just like, wow, this let me find out. This could be a thing out here. And like I said, I've been seeing more and more, like I seen a video a little while ago on YouTube, and like I said, every so often you see people walking around with them, you know, weird looking shoes. Mm-hmm. They still, see the thing about, the arch, I like having an arch, even though I have to sometimes use an orthotic, because my arch has almost fallen a couple times, you know what I'm saying? But there's also, if they really, and I guess they're not really concerned, but if they really want to gain some steam out here in the splayed community, they need like a splayed foot Tinker Hat feel and maybe a splayed foot Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying, to kind of move some of this product, because right now, aesthetically, it is not appealing. It looks, but I guess that's the choice. That's, you look like an outsider. You look a little crunchy with it. It's a crunchy look. It's definitely a departure from what's going on. You know, you splayed, you ain't trying to fit in. Literally, right. You ain't trying to fit in. The shit is too much for you, too tight. You try to take up as much space as possible.
So you take the Jordans, right? Dunks, you know what I'm saying? Which eventually turned into SBs, you know what I'm saying? Those weren't immediately widely accepted, you know what I'm saying? That was like niggas' shoes, what niggas do to go, you know what I'm saying? To look cool in the streets, or, you know what I'm saying, possibly maybe play some basketball in them. But, you know what I'm saying, more for style and fashion. You know, most of America didn't take immediately to that. You know what I mean? It may seem like it now. Shit, niggas wear sneakers to the prom. You know what I'm saying? There's whole sneaker balls where people wear dresses, ball dresses and sneakers. That shit wasn't a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like some of these sneakers and shit like that, you had to, you were taking, you know, you were walking out with your shit, you thinking you fresh, and everybody is looking at you like you're niggified. Look at this nigga. You know what I'm saying? With his Converse shoes on with jeans. That's absurd. You should only wear Converse with tennis shorts or basketball shorts.
Right.
You know? You know, it wasn't, sneakers wasn't like hip and cool for mass. That's what people was wearing, you know what I'm saying? Sperry topsiders and shit like that. Penny loafers. You know what I mean?
Now, hard the, bottoms.
Yeah, the black community, we adopted sneakers as our day-to-day motherfucking shoe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You watch a 70s blaxploitation flick, niggas is fighting and running in a suit and a hard bottom.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Stacey Adams. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Remember Stringer Bell on the last episode when he got killed?
Yeah.
Running through that building. Like, nigga, where you going? We hear every step you take. Like Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Shit. You know what I'm saying? So it took a while before sneakers were like a mainstream thing. You know what I mean? Before, you know, other communities started joining into the love of just wearing sneakers for day to day. So, you know, it may take time for them to find their Jordan. I don't know what sport he played. Maybe they got like a shot putter that could put them on the map. You know what I'm saying? A peasy head shot putter that cut his head bald and now he's fashionable. With a splayed shoe.
With a splayed shoe or a swag surfer.
Yeah,
I feel like if a splayed foot could swag surf way better than somebody in a too tight shoe. You know what I mean? You get a little bit more extension on your swag.
The problem is that the swag surfer probably couldn't get in the club with a splayed shoe.
Yeah, that's the problem. That is the problem.
It's like you couldn't get in the club with a tennis shoe back in the day. You couldn't get in the club with a sneaker.
That's why I have a bit of, you know what I'm saying, not empathy, I guess, a little bit of, you know, a soft spot for the community. Not that I'm willing to join, but the marginalized, as somebody that's black, somebody from the hip-hop generation, you understand marginalization, just like you said, you know, and winning the fight against marginalization on a certain level. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, who knows if we won, but they given us all types of cool, you know, appearances of the win. You know what I'm saying? You know, they wrap a whole public library.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? You know,
it's the 50th year of hip hop, man.
Yeah, man.
They said this shit. Yeah, they said this shit was a fad. You know?
Look at that.
Like,
at that.
I remember. Like, once you got, like, hearing the music and you into it, it wasn't even like a industry or, like, you know what I'm saying, per se, like a job site you could go to. I want to work in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit didn't exist. So you had to figure it out. So when you saying to your people, like, yo, I want to work in hip-hop, they like, nigga, what the fuck? That ain't no job. That shit's finna be gone next year. You know, and then here you are. All my jobs have been somehow related to hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Definitely fueled by, powered by, talk about is all
right.
This all I've ever done. And to go from a place where it was not like almost to everybody else, it was nothing. It was like, come on, man, that's just some shit. You know what I'm saying? People doing. It's like somebody saying right now, you know what? I'm a make a living and do my whole life on Baltimore Club, Philly Club. You know what I'm saying? Even though that shit, even that's been around at least fucking 15 years, 20 years, at least. I mean,
longer
I came.
Than that. Yeah,
I know.
Sure.
I came into it about 15 years ago, so I knew it wasn't new. But it's like. But nobody would be like, oh, come on, man. You know, man, you tripping. But now it's starting to be some hits that got that beat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who knows where it may go, you know? I want to make my whole living in booty shake. That wasn't plausible. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Your guidance counselor would try to sway you otherwise.
Right.
You like, sure? Is that what you want to do?
Come on.
You
like,
sure? No. Okay. Let me talk to your parents.
Ain't many jobs in that. Okay.
You know? Right. I don't know.
They don't even play that on the radio.
Right.
But that's how it is. Like, now it's a thing. Yeah. Now you got billionaires that done came out of hip hop that they rapped the whole Brooklyn Library. Like, back then, they'd be like, stop all that hibbity hop and go read a book. Now mm-hmm. you can go read a book in the midst of hibbity hop.
Now the hibbity hop is on the fucking library wall.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta walk through there. Shit. You gotta read the hibbity hop on the wall before you walk in.
Right.
Like,
yeah, man.
That shit is crazy.
It's great. It's great. It's dope. I got questions, but go ahead. Keep going.
Just before you ask a question, it's just hard to appreciate if you didn't know a time when it didn't exist or it was very marginalized or only played on Saturday night at after 9 o'clock. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like only time you see it is, you know, you up in the middle of the night scrolling through cable and Wild Style is on. Like, oh shit, what is this? You know what I'm saying? You're like, damn, this a whole world. And we was talking, you know, we see Wild Style, they had the graffiti. Like we was talking earlier before we came on, because your whole writing style is graffiti. The way you actually, mm-hmm. your penmanship is like tag language.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, it's like
in language.
It is. Yeah. It's like, that shit speak. You know that shit hip hop when you see it. Like, oh shit, this is a hip hop nigga sent me this. You know what I'm saying? Like, off rip. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nigga
shit.
Got
yeah.
hip hop penmanship, nigga.
Right. Ain't that crazy? That's his own genre of fucking communication. Yeah, no, it's true.
It's like, it's true. The first time I drew my name in graffiti was like, I instantly felt the value. Like, oh shit, I'm somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All you start doing is start imagining all what that tag meant, all what your name mean to the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? You imagining this by putting your name on the paper with some colors and some, you know what I'm saying, background drawings. Like, oh,
you're making
shit.
Your mark, literally. Yeah.
Again, like, as I'm bullshitting, talking about your penmanship, my whole signature is based off of the first time I drew my name in graffiti. It's the same setup.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think that's for a lot of people, especially of, you know, our age and even maybe even younger. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But absolutely, that was a thing. That was a thing because I remember also, like, when it kind of turned for me, because I do remember, like, even as a young kid, practicing my signature. Mm-hmm. Like a signature was a thing, like an autograph. Right. I guess I wanted to be somebody. You know what I'm saying? So I'm dead ass. I was going over that autograph. Okay, that shit, ooh, that look official. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And then I remember kind of getting into graffiti a little bit. Graffiti, it wasn't like, I remember seeing people tagging all over and shit like that. And I also remember, shout out to my homegirl, Cynthia. I remember seeing Cynthia. Shout out Cynthia Decker. Cynthia Decker she was like one of the first people I seen with the ill hand, as they call it, like in Philly. Or like, you know, hand style or whatever. But just that was just her regular shit. I was like, oh, shit. Fuck with how she put her letters together. You know what I'm saying? I had a little approach, but it was different. It was a little bit more, it was just a little bit, but I was like, I like how she flipped some of them shit. So I definitely took a little bit of that and flipped it. You know what I'm saying? Added my own little flair to it. And, you know, it always goes through various iterations. I remember plenty of times, you know, changing my tag, like that'd be a big thing. That's like changing your brand identity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh shit, okay, so that's how you doing it now? That's how you gonna go with that? But I don't even know what I'm saying. Oh, I'm just saying all that to say, like, yeah, it is now very much normalized. Cause before, just like hip hop, it was dismissed. That shit was chicken scratch.
Right.
What is this? I remember, like, you know, like, I remember holding my own. Like, I remember this was a real big thing. Like, when I would send Christmas cards or something, sign a Christmas card to like my grandmother. That was like the closest to the government in the family. You know what I'm saying? That was a big establishment. My grandmother from back in the day. So I'm hitting her with this. But after a while, even she accepted. She said, I know who it is. I know who this is. You know what I'm saying? That's just like your brand. I know who this was. Soon as I saw her, you're like, yup, exactly. So, yeah, man, I dig that. This is my thing that I want to talk about. We'll be talking about Hip Hop 50, probably at least for the rest of this year. But I have two things that I want to talk about. One, I hope, not to be the wet blanket, I just hope that, you know, 50 years of hip hop, so it's now multi-generational, right? And I just hope that, like you said, you made the point to say that, you know, we grew up at a time when you had to really, like, seek out rap. You know what I'm saying? You had to wait till a certain hour to listen to it on the radio. It was only on cut on the weekends or whatever. You had to tape the shit and keep it with you. So if you wanted to hear it again, you had it on your own tape. It wasn't in rotation in the least. You know, it wasn't selling anything on TV. You know, the people on television were not using rap slang at all. Right? It was definitely a subculture. Right? Now it's the mainstream. Now somebody that is from Gen Z, they may not realize the you know, like the process, what happened, the journey, what they had to go through, where it started and all of that. Maybe if they're inclined to do the knowledge, but even then, when you study something, you get the information, but it's something to live the information. You can't fault nobody for not being alive. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But one of my things is I really hope that all of these generations that are under the umbrella of hip hop see the value of the culture and protect the value of the culture. Right now, you know, it's 50 years, so it's a great opportunity for brand activation. It's a great way to, you know, tap into urban America or tap into cutting edge, tap into youth culture, whatever. All of that. Like, you know, these companies see the value as far as a bottom line and see the value as far as a consumer base. At least this year. And some may stay, but I just hope that the people understand and protect it and keep that shit going to where we could see 100 years. I hope that happens. Now, the other thing, and then, because the other thing, and I'm trying to go to, you know, 50 years, right? Multi-generational, right? I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, and they were talking about, we were talking about a certain rapper, right, that's going to put some shit out. And there's another rapper on there who I haven't heard spit in a while. I mean, fuck it. Nas got an album coming out. Got Magic 2 coming out Friday. 50's on the album. 50's on the joint. And I was like, yo, this shit could be interesting because they got a history or whatever, whatever. And I was just like, you know, literally yesterday I was saying to myself, I was like, damn, it's been a minute since I've heard 50 rap. You know what I'm saying? He's damn near on some Aaron Spelling shit right now. You know what I mean? And I fuck with 50 when he rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got certain shit. Like, he has his own thing about him. 50 will say shit that other motherfuckers be afraid to say. And when he get in his pocket, 50 could get busy. Right? And it's been a while, and I think that's kind of, that's going to hopefully work in his benefit. It's been a while, so it's kind of the scarcity might work for him, right? So then a friend of mine was like, yeah, you know, he kind of been rapping about the same thing for years and years and years, whatever, whatever. I was just like, I hope he still got it. So he been rapping about the same thing for years and years and years. And I was like, honestly, like 95% of the rappers rap about the same thing for years and years and years, right? And then it kind of got into this whole conversation of, you know, there are, like, if you look at some of the, you know, some rappers like, you know, the generation of Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick, you know, even Kanye or whomever, you know, Jay-Z, Andre 3000 here and there. You know what I'm saying? It goes a little broader. But there are artists that are changing what they talk about to reflect the life that they're living. Like, they're mm-hmm. growing with the music, right? And this is something that's fairly, it's pretty uncharted. This is 50 years. You know, to your point, years ago, we didn't see no future in this shit. You know what I'm saying? If you were lucky, you get in 3 years, three good summers. Hopefully you got a nice little car, you know what I mean? Maybe a crib, some money in the bank, and then you figure it out from there, and you got props. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you used to be such and such. Now, 20-year careers we starting to see, which is fairly new. Within the last maybe 10, 15 years, you starting to see, oh, shit, these people are north of 40 and still relevant, right? That made me think of this whole thing. I'm a ramble nigga. That made me think of this whole thing. Generations, people talking about things as they age. There's this thing, and I even think about it with comedy. There's this thing of, you know, you want to talk about different things as you get older, certain things you may not want to talk about because you're older, right? But, like, who decides that? Is being 40 what it was 30 years ago? Right? Mm-hmm. Is being 50 what it was 30 years ago? Who's to say, nobody want to hear that, or you too old to be talking about that type of shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you, as somebody at your age, how do you monitor, for sake of a word, like, how do you pay attention to your own evolution? You know, and what makes you decide what you leave behind and what you grow into?
Well, that's tough because, you know, sometimes you don't even know you're leaving stuff behind until you look back and you know, contemplate certain things. You know what I'm saying? Certain things. You just go. Like me, I just go. Like, you know, man, it's like, I will say this, a lot of the foundational beliefs that I have as far as how I move, I knew by like 21, right? I was already crabbing. Ever since I started looking at my drawing name on the graffiti on the paper, you start adding things that you want to be a part of your, what will become your philosophy. You have, obviously, at that age, you're not really, you know, seventh grade, sixth grade, you're not really calling it a philosophy. You're just like, I want this, I want that. I want it to be like this. I want it to move like that. So when you're trying to artistically draw this out, you're thinking of all of these things. You know what I'm saying? Like an artist, like you're really like, okay, I want my life to be breaking down like this. I need this. You know what I'm saying? I want a big, long Cadillac like Run DMC. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. So you start adding things to your place. And then you start, as you get older, you start adding how you're going to get there. You know, for the most part, a lot of the foundational how I'm going to get there and where I want to go in the end and how I wanted to feel in the end is still intact. You know what I'm saying? And that's what kind of keeps you going. The stuff you kind of, and then some things that you do that you, it's a detour. You don't, actually, when you decide to do certain things, you don't know it's a detour until you 5-6 years down the road, like, damn, where am I at? Like, shit. You know what I'm saying? This ain't what mm-hmm. I planned. This ain't what I planned, how I planned on feeling. This isn't what I wanted to do. So you had to reroute yourself and recourse yourself. And it's not a bad thing because you do learn things along the way that you pick up, take with you. But sometimes you leave behind all that detour shit. So, but, you know, them detours usually come in disguise. They look like progress until you in it. And then it's like, oh, shit. Then as over time, you start to realize, okay, I ain't fucking with no fucking detours if I could recognize them as detours. So for me, I decide what I leave behind if it's not going in the direction of the goal or how I want it feel in the end. And most change and most progress is based off of feeling. It's not necessarily things. It's how you feel about the things, you know? And once you start to, that's what we talked about, how we started this whole pod off of, like, being in sync with your thoughts and your feelings. It's like the feelings is a major part, you know what I mean? Because your mind, it could play tricks on you sometimes and make you think certain shit feels a certain way or certain things, like fear is controlling, is ruling everything. Like, damn, it's all falling apart. And your mind is looking at an outcome that hasn't actually happened yet. So you start worrying yourself about shit. But on the flip side of that, once you get in a flow of, all right, damn, this feels great, I'm going to keep going down this road where it feels great, it feels great, it feels great. You know what I'm saying? And it matches how I want to move and how I want to feel. You know, that's the stuff you keep. That to me. Mm-hmm. But time, wisdom, learning, you may go 3-5 years from now and that shit don't feel the same no more. And you have to readjust your fucking, your signature, you know what I'm saying? Change your brand up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Refresh your brand until you get back to your equilibrium of, okay, yeah, all right, this feel right, boom. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully you do that until the time for you to expire and you leave out of this bitch. Yeah, that felt right. Good. You know what I'm saying? That felt right. You know what I mean? And I'm out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that last point to where you, every so often, you might have to tweak some things, you know, like and the idea that you don't reach your final form until you're dead, till it's over. Right. That's right. The final form, like, until, because, but there's this thing of, if you're not careful, you can get caught up in the thing of, you know, I never change, I found out who I am, I'm, you know, I'm true to myself, and that shit sound cool, but it could be limiting. Because you could change your mind immediately. Like, you could, you know what I mean? A lot of people define themselves by their stance on certain things.
Right.
And they don't consider other shit because that would be a direct hit to their identity. You know what I mean? And yeah.
Them people ain't must not pay attention. Like, you know, it, when you're in a long-term relationship or shit, you get reminded that your point ain't the only point often. You know what I'm saying? Your point of view ain't the only one. And that shit send you to the mirror. And in the mirror, you have to decide whether, am I tripping? Or, you know what I mean? Or is, you know, I must still go with what I believe, you know, to be true. And then those decisions aren't always easy. And they're not, you know, it's like sometimes you do have to look at, like, that might not be a true thing for the execution of where I want to go. Now, if you ain't in no situation, you never had to be checked on your motherfucking vision, or you ain't accountable to nobody for your vision, then you go along, that shit all maybe work out forever. But when you got other people that you're accountable to and that, you know what I'm saying, you want to get to the end of the road with, you start to think, okay, maybe that part right there, I don't need as much. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I could let that part go. That ain't no real trip. That's not, you know, it's not necessary like an arch and a splayed foot. You know what I'm saying? Might be more stable. You know what I'm saying? With a flat foot on the ground. But, you know, but until then, goddammit, I'm moving with my vision.
Yeah. Commit. committing and shit. If you got to pivot, pivot. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Yeah, pivot ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? You got to be like water around this bitch. You know? You got to be around like water. But if you got a plan, you got a place where you trying to land, like, even if you pivot, you still got your sights on the horizon or the North Star or whatever you're using as your direction and your pole. So it's just keeping your sights on where you want to be. You know what I'm saying? Engaging it and constantly monitoring it. Like in real life, you know what I'm saying? You kind of adjusting. Every few months, you really doing an evaluation and a slight adjustments. But at that point, it's mostly like the small stuff. Like your big vision should all, you know, should be good unless, you know what I'm saying, you want to do something wild and now you don't want to do that no more. My vision started off with being a granddaddy. I want to be a great granddaddy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like my granddaddy.
When did that start? When did you?
Yeah, I saw myself as a granddaddy before I saw myself as a father, but I knew I had to be a father to get there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, right. Like I always used to look at like older people and study them and shit, and like some of them didn't have no friends or like people, they always thought they were like cool, but then they'd be like, yeah, them motherfuckers ain't play the radio, boy. They gave these motherfuckers they ass to kiss. You ain't fuck with motherfuckers, and then now motherfuckers really don't fuck with them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think. For a long time, I make decisions based off of the fact that I want to roll out this bitch in a certain way. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want to be able I didn't know none of my granddaddies. None of them. You know what I'm saying? Neither one of them, actually. So, like, where the fuck these niggas at? You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? They missing out on a cool motherfucker they got as a grandson. You know, I don't want to miss out on no shit like that. I ain't want nobody, no other nigga raising my kids. So when it came time to, you know, do the granddaddy shit, my shit is intact. And my kids is at least my attempt is my vision is to have my kids and my grandkids all intact and everybody around. You know, man, if I make it that far. So. You know, I started with that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they like, you know, you got to see the end. You got to see the end so you could plot your way to it. So a lot of that informed how I move throughout life. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that informed. The second thing that informed my shit was I used to see grown people, when they get in the jam, they like, damn, what we going to do? Shit, let's call such and such. He could pull some strings. You know what I'm saying? They call such and such. He pulls some strings. Crisis averted. I was like, damn, I want to be the nigga that could pull the strings. You know what I'm saying? Oof. And then, like, what does that take to be a nigga that could pull the strings? You got to know people. Right. People got to fuck with you. You got to have some respect out here. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of things that line up for you to be able to make a call and pull a string. You know what I'm saying? People got to owe you some favors around this bitch. You know what I'm saying? I guess on one flip side of it, you know what I'm saying? You could be feared, but you know what I'm saying? I didn't feel like that was the best way to go about it. Felt like,
yeah, that don't.
You know what I'm saying? Knowing where a lot of things are, who do what, respecting who do what, will help you connect with people, you know? And when you respect what people do, you in turn respect how you do your thing. So you ain't gonna do your thing in a way that was like the disrespectful manner, you know? So you try to uphold that shit. Now you might fuck up a few times, might burn a few bridges, might not get everything done how you wanted to get done, but for the most part, that's what your intent is, to be in good standing, have good credit with the people.
Yep. Yeah. And give yourself, if you do fuck up, give yourself some grace, because nobody is perfect out this bitch.
Nah, hell no.
You know what I'm saying? Nah. I think that's also not spoken about enough. It's just kind of how you deal with those points where you fall short, how you handle that. That kind of, right. That goes on your legacy too. Like, oh, okay, yeah. Nah, that was, because people are paying attention to both, how you win and how you lose.
Right. You know? Right. Well. What goes into your decision making of leaving shit behind or carrying on?
You know, I was thinking about it more in well, due to the fact that a lot of shit that
I went on the wrong tangent.
Nah. You did what you did. That was a good way of looking at it. That's how you look at it. I appreciate that. I think a lot of what I'm going through is often processed in what I talk about on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I could feel I might cringe at some shit that I said or mm-hmm. I, you know what I mean? And sometimes it's often looked at like, I do these little audits, you know what I'm saying? Every so often, you know, like I do like at least a creative self audit, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm looking mm-hmm. at, especially now that I'm posting stuff like that, like I'm going into the archives of things and you know what I mean? And I'm looking at, do I still stand behind this type of material or whatever, you know, like just, I'm tending my own garden. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, I do find myself saying, do I still feel that way? Am I still living like that? Is that, and it's my own, I'm the one that determines it because I'm going to have to be the one that stands behind it when it's in mm-hmm. the world. Right. So I definitely look at shit like that. And I definitely, that's one of the things that I look at. And then, you know, obviously I think on another level is like you said, you know, just having conversations with people, being in the world, how you present yourself in the world, even like just on an aesthetic level, as the seasons pass, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I want to present differently, you know? Like, it's funny for me, it might be easier for me to pivot creatively and intellectually than it might be aesthetically. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just because I'm like, that shit look crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could tell if some shit sound crazy. Like, I'm a better judge of that type of shit. But sometimes that's just how it is. Sometimes you just go through a phase where you was wearing that type of shit. And you might not look back on it finally, or you might look back on it like, oh, I was early. Or I was clinging to that too long or whatever the fuck. But you make a move. And, you know, I always live by the adage, obsession is not action. Ain't no right or wrong move. So just go ahead and try some shit. If it don't work, try some other shit. If it do work, rock with it until it don't work no more. But yeah, and that's kind of how I look at it though. Like I, particularly as far as my work and the way that I think, like I could look at literal footage shit like that, or go over material, go over set lists and things like that, or mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like this shit is shit. I mean, even the way we talk on this podcast, go back and you listen to it 5 years ago, might sound way different, you know? So all of that, you know what I mean? Like there's a record out there, you know? And sometimes I might not even see it. Like you said, sometimes it's just so organic to you look up and be like, yo, I don't even remember when that happened. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It wasn't that conscious until somebody pointed out, you know? So yeah, but it's definitely something that I pay attention to, and I try to be, like I said, give myself some grace. I try not to like undermine or judge myself harshly, you know, but I got to keep it 100 with myself too. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, accept myself and say, all right, bet, let me change that. Or, that ain't working no more. Let me try this.
Right.
And I think if I'm talking about creatively, I think that I'm getting into the point in life where it's like I am way more I'm way less precious about a lot of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Because growth ain't always pretty, you know? And it's going, you're going to have to figure some things out. And, you know, some of these drafts ain't going to be, like, there is no final form. You know what I'm saying? It's just we throwing paint where it ain't. You know what I'm saying? And it's often like, you know, that's real shit. And it's often like, got to give yourself that freedom. Because for a while, like, particularly, like, when it comes to, like, material, I would look at material as, like, inventory. I bet I got to do an hour. What I got in store? What I got in the cabinet? Okay, I got that. I got that. After some nowadays, man, look, I ain't got to use that shit. Throw that shit out. You don't need that. You're going to be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You'll find some new shit. Trust me. You know what I'm saying? And trust, you know, like, really trust that. Whatever you got is more than enough. Like you always say, what you say, you got everything you need. You got to realize that. You got everything you need in every capacity, you know, and really believe that shit. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Bird up. Shit, we was out there this week.
I think so. I think we splayed. We had some splayed thinking. You know what I'm saying? We
was going intellectually splayed the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Spreading out with these thoughts. Hopefully y'all was fucking with it. You know what I mean?
Man.
Shit. You got anything else you want to talk about, or you feel like we could smooth up out of here?
I mean, I could smooth up out of here, I guess. I don't know.
You sure?
I ain't got nothing pressing.
Okay, I ain't got nothing pressing. I mean, this shit just goes back in the reservoir. We could talk about this shit next week, whatever. Table it to the next week.
I just felt like I did a lot of talking. Maybe it was just a lot of thinking.
Yeah. Ooh. Look at that. That's a mic drop. That's a sign off. That's how you sign off on this motherfucker. I wasn't doing a whole lot of talking. I was doing a whole lot of thinking. Hello, hello. There you go. Well, shit. Y'all think on that. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.